Test 1, Part 3. You will hear an interview with someone who consulted a life coach to improve her life. For questions 16 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C or D, which fits best according to what you hear.
My next guest is Bridget McConville, a journalist who decided to get herself a life coach. Bridget, what made you do it, and what is a life coach?
Well, all was not entirely well with my life. Nothing drastic. I just felt stuck and in need of change, both on the work front, too much to do, too little time, and at home, ditto. I wasn't miserable enough for therapy or counselling. I simply wanted to get a little more from life. Until recently, the options for someone in my situation would have been extremely limited. Now, however, legions of life coaches are out there ready and waiting to come to the aid of the frustrated and down at heart. For about £40 a session, your personal coach will telephone you once a week and spend half an hour talking to you in an effort to help you sort your life out.
But isn't this just another self-improvement fad, like all the self-help books and tapes?
Well, I was a bit dubious myself, but I decided to try it. I booked a course with Fiona Harold, a leading British coach. She identified my anxieties almost immediately. Within half an hour of our first conversation, I found myself agreeing that the first thing I had to tackle was my deeply ambivalent relationship with money. Yes, of course, it was rooted in childhood. But what could we actually do about it? Fiona is a passionate advocate of self-belief, and with her characteristic verve, she told me I had to carve out a whole new way of thinking about myself. I must see myself as a magnet for money, she said. And she told me, consider yourself someone to whom cash flows effortlessly. Why shouldn't you have an easy life, an abundance of pleasure, leisure and luxury, and all without feeling any guilt?
How did you react to that?
Well, it seemed such a preposterous idea that I laughed out loud down the telephone. But undeterred by my scepticism, Fiona told me to suspend my disbelief and gave me a clutch of positive affirmations with which to brainwash myself into readiness for riches. She told me to repeat the following words whenever possible. I, Bridget, am now ready to have the ideal life that I deserve. Doing this, I found, cheered me up no end.
What else did she tell you?
Well, subsequent sessions were more practical. First came the mandatory decluttering. She told me to throw out as much unnecessary jumble and rubbish as possible, clearing space for all the goodies to come once the money started to roll in. Then we began trying to cure my personal finance phobia. I dutifully did my sums and started saving something, however small, every month. My work also came under close scrutiny too, as I made up my mind to concentrate on jobs that really interested me. Exactly which issues you tackle during coaching is up to you. According to Fiona, most people want to get organised at home and at work, make the most of their abilities and sort out money problems. She reckons that building up confidence is vital. She really does believe that people are capable of doing anything they want to do, and that all that stands in their way is childhood conditioning.
So what did you get out of it all, and would you recommend it?
Well, coaching makes you get on and do all those things you've put off for so long, because there's the deadline of the next session. If you don't act in time, your coach probably won't want to speak to you. So coaching is hardly a soft option. But for me, it has provided a great boost. There have been no instant miracles, but things are looking up at work and financially. Money and I are definitely on better terms. I still have my doubts about the me-first approach. But then again, it is a healthy counterbalance to the me-last way of thinking I am used to.
Thanks, Bridget. Now, if you want to find out more about life coaches...
That's the end of part 3.